Okay, good morning, Rav Volkart, and welcome once again to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic this week is obviously very much related to Parshas Toldos. We have in Parshas Toldos a very interesting situation where Yaakov Avinu, who is the person in the Torah who is most identified with Emes, we find we have a pasuk that we say every day in davening. We just said it: Titen Emes LeYaakov Chesed LeAvram. That Avram Avinu is identified with Emes. Yaakov Avinu is identified with Chesed, which is legendary. Yaakov Avinu is identified with Emes, and yet the Parshas Toldos speaks about two acts of, I guess you would say, that weren't exactly on the up and up. One of them was the sale of the purchase of the Bechor from Esav, and the second one, of course, was where Yaakov Avinu apparently did a blatant act of sheker, where he came in and represented himself as Esav, and that's one of the big challenges of the Parshas Toldos. The fact of the matter is that we know that the concept of Emes, right, we have a pasuk which is found in Parshas Mishpatim, and by the way, I apologize, the top sheet on these handouts was an error that it was stapled on, so we're going to start from the second one. Okay, so yeah, I apologize for that. So anyway, we have in the Parshas Toldos the ultimate situation is where in Parak of Zion Pasuk Yitzchak Yaakov Avinu said to Yitzchak, he says, "Vayomer Yaakov Elavu, Anochi Esav Bechoretha, I am Esav your Bechor, Asisi Kasher Dibarti Elai, and I did what you told me to do." So it sounds like it's a blatant lie. Rashi tells us that if Rashi waters it down a bit, Rashi says, "Anochi Esav Bechoretha, Anochi Hu Hanegi Lecha, I am the one who is bringing it to you, the Esav Hu Bechoretha." So Rashi tells us that Rashi takes what Esav said, what Yaakov said, and sort of transforms it into a white lie. In other words, it was not a blatant Anochi Esav Bechoretha, I am Esav, but rather it was a little bit of a more of a Anochi, it is I. Esav Bechoretha, Esav is your Bechor. Now, when you read this Rashi, you may wonder, you know, how did he say it? Did he say it? In other words, where was the comma put in when he said these words? Right? Did he say Anochi Esav Bechoretha? Did he say straight up Anochi Esav Bechoretha? It seems a little bit, I can't say for sure, but it seems that he may have said it the regular way, but the fact is that the words could have been construed in a way that it wasn't total sheker, and that apparently is something that he was striving to do. The question still remains that if everything's said and done, I mean, so what, you know, it's still a lie, so maybe you'll tell me it's a white lie, but it's a lie nonetheless, and we have the well-known pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which is right under it on the sheet, Midvar Sheker Tircha. Midvar Sheker Tircha means that from sheker, from falsehood, a person has to run away. A person has to run away, make every effort to run away from sheker, and therefore the question comes about that what exactly is going on here, right? And we are told by the Mefarshim, right, that if you look through all the mitzvahs in the Torah, if you look through all of the mitzvahs, you will not find, by the mitzvahs lotzasei, by the negative commandments which the Torah says not to do, you will not find where the Torah says the word tircha, where the Torah says you have to distance yourself, other than in this place. In other words, by every other avera, Shabbos, and all kinds of other things, you know, the various averas that we have in the Torah, and al-mechaber, and al-mechaber, you don't find this expression. It's only by sheker. And the reason for that is because MS is one of the keys to life. And a person needs, the Chazal tell us that the midas ha-emes is crucial for a person to be able to navigate through the challenges of life. There are a lot of things that we are told that we live in a world which is referred to as Alma the Shikra, as the world of falsehood. You see a lot of things that don't make sense. A lot of things where we have questions, how come this one got this and this one got that? It doesn't make any sense to us. And sheker is very often glorified in the world, and a person needs to have a very strong midas ha-emes, a very strong sense of truth and ability to perceive the truth in order to be able to get through life in the proper way. So therefore we have this process in the Sheker Tircha, that a person has to run from Sheker. And yet we find that Yaakov Avinu engaged in these acts. So Lamaisa, what this points to is the fact that with this disdain that the Torah has for Sheker, nevertheless, apparently there are certain situations where it may be called for. In fact, we find later in the parasha, it's not on the sheet, but it says that when Esav eventually showed up, when Esav came and appeared before Yitzchak, so Yitzchak's words to him were, "Bar Ficha b'mirma v'tayikach b'chosecha," that your brother came with shrewdness, literally translated, and he took your brachos. So if you look in the Targum of Mokulus on that pasuk, he says that the mirma, he does not translate to mean with deceit, which is the way it's usually translated, but in that place the Targum of Mokulus says that he came with chokhmah and took your bracha, which points to the fact that there are certain situations where there's an inyan of chokhmah, where there's a situation where a person has to use his good judgment and realize that maybe here, the truth is not called for. Obviously, in the situation of Yaakov, so had the brachos ended up in Esau's hands, it would have been disastrous. And it wasn't just that this was something that they were assuming, but Rivka knew this because she heard the Nebuah from Shem, which we find at the beginning of the parasha, that when she went to Shem, Shem told her, the Rav Yaakov Tzair, that the older one is going to be subservient to the younger one, which basically was a Nebuah that said that Yaakov is the one that's supposed to have the upper hand. Mm-hmm. So therefore, this was the way for Yaakov to get the Brachah, so this was a Chokhmah. And that brings us to the topic of today's shiur, which is, when else is it a chokhmah, or are there any other situations where a person is allowed to not tell the truth? Right, now, obviously, intuitively, we realize that there are certain situations where it's totally clear one way or the other. For example, in a business deal, obviously, it goes without saying that a person has to be 100% truthful. There is no chatter in any situation like that for a person to lie, because that lie is going to hurt somebody else, it's going to cause another person a loss. So there we clearly understand that there is no chatter. On the other hand, there are situations where we all intuitively realize that it would be ridiculous to tell the truth. In other words, for example, if you happen to be standing outside your house and you see the wealthy professional burglar looking over, he's eyeing your neighbor's house, and he comes over to you and says, "Tell me, does that person have nice things in their house?" Right? You know, so obviously in a situation like that, for you to say the truth would be ridiculous, right? Because you went, well, I tell you the truth, yeah, they really, it's unbelievable what they have in there. They have all kinds of, they have a silver menorah, all kinds of, I'm telling you, you gotta see it. Right? So in that situation, the staple, the cautious staple dictate that a person would be allowed to lie. Right? There's no question. Because the truth in that situation would be very harmful to somebody. So in that situation, we know pretty much that a person would be able to lie. What I would like to touch upon today are certain situations where it's a little vague, and I would just begin by saying that the laws of MS and Sheker are very complicated. And for whatever reason, they don't appear in the Shulchan Aruch. I believe the reason is because in general, when it comes to Midos, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss things that have to do with Midos, but not because Midos are not important, but because of the fact that it's too complicated. There are too many scenarios that in one case it could be this, in one case it could be that, and the Shulchan Aruch would be 1,000 volumes long if we had to try to cover every possible scenario. So therefore, we don't find these types of things in the Shulchan Aruch, but nevertheless, these are basic halakhos that we have to know. So, the starting point is, I think, the most common situation where people realize that there's it may be the right thing to do to not tell the truth, is based on a Gemara that we find on Daf Samach Hei in Yevamos. And the Gemara says, it's here on the sheet, the Gemara says, if you start from the top line at the end, Ba'amar Rabbi Lora Mishimra, the Wazaber of Shimon. But it was said the following, however, in the name of the Lord of Shem. Mutar lo la'adam l'shanos bidvar ha'shalom. It is permissible for a person to l'shanos, to change from the truth, or we would say, to put it bluntly, to lie bidvar ha'shalom in a situation where it involves shalom, where it involves peace between people. How do we know this? So the Gemara proceeds to say, "Shenemar avicha tziva kol somu liyosef onasona pesha akasa v'katasam." We find in Parshas Vayechi, so the Torah tells us that after Yaakov Avinu was buried by his sons, they took him up to the Maris Machpelah, they left the Mitzrayim, they took him to be buried. So when they came back, they began to fear, for certain reasons, they began to fear that now that Yaakov's gone, Yosef is going to exact revenge for what they did to him. So they sent a messenger to Yosef, and they said, Avicha tziva lema, that your father, you may not know this, but before Yaakov passed away, he gave the following command, and that was, Onra tra pesha katasa, Onra, please, sonra pesha, please carry overlook the sin of your brothers. They said to Yosef that our father Yaakov Avinu issued a command before he passed away that was directed towards you, that please leave them alone, please bear what they did, don't take revenge against them. This is what they told Yosef. Now this is not true. Yaakov Avinu never said such a thing. However, they said it because they were afraid that it's going to end up in a disaster, that now Yosef is going to try to do something to them, and it's going to be a problem. It maybe they'll try to defend themselves. It could be machlok. At the very least, there would be significant machlokas. And therefore, the brothers of Yosef made up a story. That is this is what we find in Chumash. So based on this pasuk, the Gemara derives that how are they allowed to do this? Must be that it's mutar l'shanos b'nei hasholom. That when it comes to maintaining peace between people, a person is not allowed to tell the truth. Or a person's allowed, let's put it this way, a person has, sorry about that, I didn't have to cut the talk yet, right? A person is allowed not to tell the truth. We'll see if he must lie, but he's allowed not to tell the truth. Okay, it says further, that's one source. The Gemara continues, Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson says, not only is it mutter for a person to do this, but it is a mitzvah to do this. Shenema, Hayomer, Shmuel, Eich, Eich, the Shema Shal Baharaguni. Right, we find in Shmuel Aleph that after the mistake that was made by Shaul HaMelech in the fight against Amalek, so Hashem told Shmuel the Navi that he's going to be stripped of the Malchus, that the Malchus is going to be the kingdom of the Christ, or the monarchy is going to be taken away from him and given to somebody else. And eventually the word came to Shmuel that he should go to Beis Lechem, and there is somebody there named Yishai who has a number of sons, and his youngest son is named David, and he's the one that he's supposed to anoint to be the next king. So Shmuel turned to Hashem and said, this exact prophet, how could I go? How could I go? V'shama Shaul v'arguni. If Shaul's the king, right? He's still the king. If he finds out that I'm going to anoint someone else as the king, he's going to kill me. This is what Shmuel's complaint was to Hashem. Now, as an aside, this pasuk is troublesome for a number of reasons. That the question comes up in any discussion of the Chacham that, you know, what in the world? I mean, Hashem told him to do it, so what are you worried about? I mean, a little faith. Hashem's telling you to do it, so you should have the Chacham. So this pasuk is in any discussion, if you look in the Sefer Kovas HaLevavos, where he has a section of the Chacham, he has a lengthy discussion of this pasuk and how we make sense out of it. But nonetheless, this is what Shmuel said. This is what Shmuel said. So Hashem's response, which is not found in the Gemara, Hashem's response was that Hashem told him that you're right, that therefore you have to go with a little bit of a disguise, meaning don't go walking around telling people that you're going to anoint the next king, but rather Hashem said, Hashem said to him, take an animal and make it look like you're going to bring a carbon. In those days, it was the time of the Heter Bamos, you were allowed to bring carbonos even outside of the Mishkan, and therefore Hashem said, take an animal, go bring it as a carbon, and if anyone asks you why you're in Beis Lechem, right, Shmuel was a very famous person, he was the spiritual the leader of the Klal Yisrael. If someone will say, why are you there? Tell them he came to bring the pardon. Right? Which is not the truth. The real reason is because he came to anoint David. Right? Nevertheless, Hashem told him to say this. So here, you see that it's not just like the brothers of Yosef who on their own contrived this idea, but rather, Hashem is telling Shmuel to do this. So therefore, the Gemara says, you see from this that it's a mitzvah. That in other words, that you see, we have a haskama from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he obviously felt that this is the right thing to do. Because to go in any other manner, to go say, I'm going through David, is going to create a problem, it's going to create a machloket, and therefore, to avoid the machloket, you're allowed to lie. Okay, and it's a mitzvah here, the Gemara says. And then there's one further source, which we know from the recent Parshios, and the Gemara says today, Shmuel Tana, Godel HaShalom. Shalom is great. She'ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinavo. That we find another situation where Hashem changed the truth. The Ne'ekar Tzir Ba'adoni Zaken. Because we find that when Sarah was first informed of the fact that she was going to have a child at the age of 90, so her immediate reaction was how is this possible? But it's only something. My husband is too old. My husband is even older than me. My husband is 100 or 99 and 89 at that time. Right, she said by Domi Zucking, which was a bit of a negative reflection on Avram. So we find that when Hashem came and informed Avram of what actually happened, so he changed it and he said that what Sarah said was Ha'af Umnam Eleid Va'ani Zakanti. Right, how can I have a child? I am old. So when Hashem told over to Avram what Sarah had said, he changed the story. Simple reading of the pasuk is that Sarah did not say that. Sarah said, my husband's too old, we can't have a child now. Right? But Hashem changed it when he informed Avram of what Sarah had said. He didn't want that Avram should be offended, that Sarah felt that, you know, he's the problem. So therefore, Hashem changed it to the Anisa Kanti. So there you have it, three sources where we find that it is mutter to change this nashal. And this Gemara, even if the Gemara itself is not so well known, but the concept that underlies the Gemara is very well known. And on this basis, it's brought and I think this is in the mind of many, many people, that when you have a situation of machlokas between people, when you have, it doesn't have to be necessarily a machlokas between yourself and somebody else, but even as we see, even if it's a machlokas between two other people, right, a person has the right, the license to utilize falsehood, to utilize sheker, right, what we would call sheker, to go ahead and try to break it up, right? If you think that in some manner you could put an end to the dissension, it's going to require bending the truth a little bit, or perhaps it may require waking up. I mean, you have a sit-slip between two people, and you say, well, you know, that's not, you thought that's what he said about you, it's not true, he didn't say that, you heard it when he said something else, even though it's a lie. It's a lie, he did say that, but it would seem from this Gemara that if you felt that would help, then you could say it, because Mutter was Shamus Mekne HaShalom. As much as we value MS, but there are times where Sheker has a place. There are limited situations where Sheker has a place, and Mekne HaShalom is definitely one of them. And to this end, we have the very, very famous Medrash, which is brought in the Alpha Shimoni. It's on the third sheet. We were so excited about this Medrash that we put it on the first sheet and on the third sheet. Okay, but it was enlarged on the third sheet, and I have it marked off. It's in the top paragraph. There's a little mark there about eight lines from the top. It says about, and actually this is connected to that Torah from yesterday, because if you were paying attention yesterday during that Torah of Pashas Kodos, so at the end of that Torah there's a hesped given by the Navi Malachi, gave a little bit of a hesped for Aaron HaKohen. So he said about Aaron, the last few psukim, he said, "Shalom of the Misha Ho'achiti," that Hashem says that he walked with me in the ways of peace, in the ways of Shalom. And what does that mean? So the Medrash here gives the famous reference that it says, "V'chein shnei b'nei adam sha'asim meriva zem zeh," that if there were two people who got into a dispute, one with the other, Hoi Aram, so Aram Akoin would go, the Yoshev Roy to Rekha Mehem, and he would sit down by one of them, But Omer Lohan, he would say, he would say that the Reuben and Shimon were in a terrible fight. So Aaron would go over to Reuben and he would say, listen, Reuben, listen, my son. Do you know what Shimon is doing right now? Do you think Shimon is happy that he's involved in this tremendous dispute? He would say to him, you know what he's doing? Mitarev Libo, that he is sitting there, his heart is broken. His heart is broken. Mechanic Osmo. He's like choking himself. Meaning, not literally, but he's totally bent out of shape. Kolesh Kisaro. He's tearing his hair out. But Omer, he's saying, Oily, what was to me? Ek Ephraimai the Kadela. How could I ever go approach my friend? I'm so embarrassed that I did something wrong to him. This is what Aaron would say to Reuven. That he would say, this is what this guy who you're in the Machlokas with, you think he's happy that he's arguing with you? He's miserable. He feels terrible. He wishes that this whole thing would end. And then Aaron would go to Shimon and give him the exact same story about Reuven. And in that way, it says that, it says the Medrash, I'll just skip in the interest of saving time, if you go to the second to the last line of that paragraph, it says that after Aaron would do all of this work, with the Shepagu Zeh Bezeh, when the two people, Reuben and Shimon, would then subsequently meet each other, so Gafuku Bechavku Zeh was there. They would hug each other. They would love each other because as each one was walking towards the other, he was thinking to himself, I feel so bad for him, he feels terrible what he did to me. I'm not angry at him. I was told that he's miserable. It's true, he did some sort of indiscretion towards me, but whatever it is, I see he's miserable. And he so much wants this should end, I'm gonna go put an end to it. And the other person would do that also. And in that way, Aaron HaKohen made Shalom in Klal Yisrael. And it says, Shanema and Medrashan, Sayyidku Asam Shloshim Yom, Kol Beit Yisrael. And to this end, we find that when Aaron passed away, the Torah says something that it doesn't even say when Moshe died. When Moshe passed away, it says, Sayyidku also Beit Yisrael. Kol Yisrael. It says that the Jewish people mourned for him. But when Aaron passed away, it says, Sayyidku Asam Kol Beit Yisrael. Everybody mourned for him. Meaning that when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu, there may have been a few individuals who, you know, maybe they had it in for him a little bit, maybe they were upset at some of the policies that he instituted, maybe he had to give them rebuke in certain situations, and therefore there may have been a few people that, you know, were, it's the human nature, that they weren't crying so much. But when Aaron passed away, Kol Beit Yisrael, everybody was crying, because everybody had an appreciation of what he had done, and therefore everyone knew, you know, what a tzaddik, he made peace, and there would have been so much machlokas, and he went and made peace amongst the people. For this war, everybody has to cry. This is the famous Medrash that we have here in the Medrash of Malachi, and this is what we have in Pirkei Avos, that Aaron was well shown. Of course, when you read this, you see that this is complete lies, right? In other words, Aaron, it wasn't true what Aaron said to them, right? In other words, the reality is he made peace by not telling the truth. He went and told Reuven Shimon is miserable. The reality was that Shimon was not miserable. Right, Shimon was probably, you know, sitting there steaming, like we know in the Machlokas, and so to Reuven. Right, so therefore, this was a blatant misrepresentation of the truth, but nevertheless, this is what Aaron did, and the Torah warns him for this, right, the Shalom of the Misha, Horapiti, right, we had it yesterday in Asur, right, that Hashem said that he is unbelievable what he did, he spread Shalom and Klal, so you see clearly this idea of Mutar L'Shana Sinashal. Okay, this is, I think, fairly well known. Okay, now, to that end, so it would seem that, also just for the record, from Aaron we see that this is true even in a situation where it didn't involve him. In other words, this effort to lie is not just that you're involved in a sifsuch, you're involved in a dispute with somebody, but even if it has nothing to do with you, but you see the opportunity to make peace between people, and you can achieve that by bending the truth, you can do it. And that's what we see from Aaron, that's exactly what Aaron did. Okay, now, to this end, we have a very, very remarkable psak in the Sefer Chassidim, which on the handout that I have is missing, and I'm afraid that it's missing on the ones that you have too. There's a little confusion with the sheet. Okay, so we have a psak. Does anyone have it? I apologize. The sheets were made at the last minute, and there was a little confusion involved. No, you don't have it. Okay, so today we're going to have to wing it a little bit. So we find Rabbosai in the Sefer Hasidim, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaKosid, it was written by the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda HaKosid, this is the Tana, but one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda HaKosid, so he says the following thing. He says, Rabbi Yehuda HaKosid says, that even though it is permitted for a person not to tell the truth, it is permitted for a person not to tell the truth for the purpose of shalom, nevertheless, this heter only applies in a situation where it's l'sha'ova, only in a situation where what you're lying about took place already. However, if you're going to say it about something which is mikanua above, says the Sefer Hasidim, if you're going to go ahead and say a mistruth about something that's either in the present or in the future, he says that's not what they meant when they said mutter l'shanos mitnei hashon. This is the psak, a radical interpretation which we find in the Sefer Hasidim. Again, I apologize, we don't have it here on the sheet, but he says that it is the heter to lie, the permission to lie is only mitnei hashon, is only said in a situation where one is lying about something that happened already. In other words, to say, you know, you think that that's what happened? No, this is what happened. You're upset because you think this happened? Well, you didn't get the story right. Something else happened, and that's why you shouldn't be upset. But if it's something in the present or going forward into the future, says the Sefer Hasidim, that this would not be allowed. And this is a very, very bizarre type of psak, right? One would wonder where in the world, why should there be such a difference? Why, how could we have it that there would be a difference in a situation like this? But we'll see in a moment. But the Sefer Hasidim applies it, to the following case. Okay, so you'll have to bear with me here. The Sefer Hasidim says, in Yavo Nachri O Yehudi, if a Goy or a Jew appears at your doorstep and says, lend me money, please lend me money, and you know that, you know, this fellow may be a credit risk, or you don't know him, you're afraid to lend him the money, he says, I need a loan, but you don't know whether you can trust him. So the halacha in such a case is that now what would a person think to do in such a case? So the natural reaction in your situation, I'm going to say, sorry, I have no money to lend. Right? But let's say that's not true. So you might say, well, I'm going to lie because of the fact that, you know, there's an issue, it's going to end up in my focus, he's not going to pay me back, or it's going to end up in a loss for me. Says the Sefer Hasidim that in that situation you can't say I don't have money. Because he says the heter to lie, the heter to misrepresent the truth, is only something that was in the past, not something that's still in the present or the future. To say I don't have money, which is in the present, you can't say that. This is what he says. What then do you do in that situation? So you have to give him some others. You have to tell him, whatever, I can't, I don't feel this is a good one, or something else. You know, try to come up with some other thing which is true but sayable, right? That you would have to say, but the Sefer Hasidim says to go ahead and lie, to go ahead and say a mistruth in that situation would not be mutter. The question is, where in the world does he get this from? Right? Where does the Sefer Hasidim, right? Why would he say such a thing? Right? In other words, the question on the Sefer Hasidim would be that it says clearly in the Gemara that we just learned that you're allowed to lie, and it says that unqualified. It doesn't say this with any sort of shift, right? It says you're mutter l'shanos mitnei hashon. And he comes along, Sefer Hasidim comes along and says that you're only allowed to do this if the lie is concerning an event that took place, but not an event that's in the future. So the Mefarshim point out that a possible source for this would be in the Gemara, a different Gemara that we find in the Sefer Yevamos on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and that is on the sheet here. Okay, and the Gemara says the following remarkable thing. The Gemara says one of the most remarkable stories that we find in the oral the Agadah and the Shas. The Gemara speaks about the Amora, the famous Amora Rav. Right, we know Rav and Shul. Rav is all over the Gemara. But apparently Rav did not have such a happy marriage. The Gemara says, on the last word of the top line, Rav have a commissariat for this too, that Rav was caused a great deal of grief by his wife. Rav had a wife who, the Gemara doesn't go into detail, but his wife caused him a great deal of grief. There was apparently some issue there. And to the extent, listen to this, he omar lo, abidi li tuluchi, after lochemtzi, which I'll use other words, when he would say to her, please make for me some hot cereal for breakfast, so she would give him a bowl of cold cereal. And the Gemara continues, if he would say, chemtzi, after way to lochemtzi, and she would say, and he would say to her, please give me a bowl of cold cereal, she would adopt to give him a bowl of hot cereal. In other words, there was apparently some issue. It doesn't say if it was between the two of them or it was she herself had some issue, right? But nevertheless, there was a problem there, and it got to the point that his wife had such a disdain towards him that whatever he requested, she would do exactly the opposite. She would do exactly the opposite, okay? And this went on for a while. Says the Gemara, Ki Godol Chia Grey. So Rav had a son whose name was Chia. We have him in the Gemara, Chia Barat. So when he got older, this son caught on to what was happening. He realized, he saw his father's pain, that his father would ask for one thing and his mother would adopt to give something else, the opposite of what he asked. So Chia Barat came up with a good idea. Right? So he said, he one day went over to his father and said, I have an idea. Why should you have to ask mommy for the food yourself? Let me be the middleman. You tell me what you want, right? You're such a great father. It's not for you to make such a request. So why don't you just let me be the message? You tell me what you want, and I will go relay it to my mother. So obviously, so when Rob would say to him, "Okay, I want a bowl of cold cereal for breakfast." So Chia Barat went to his mother and changed it. Chia Barat said, well, he wants a bowl of cold cereal. He wants a bowl of cold cereal. He would go to her and say, he wants a bowl of hot cereal. Right? And that way, of course, when she heard that he wants hot cereal, she prepared a bowl, nice bowl of Cheerios, right? And she handed it to him, and he went after his father, and everybody was happy. Right? The father got what he wanted, the mother, unfortunately, got what she wanted. Right? Everybody was happy. So it was a great plan. This is what the Gemara says. I'm sorry? Oh, you'll see in a second. Good question. Why didn't Rav do it himself? So this is what the Gemara says, that this went on, and for a little bit, and then Rav caught on to it. So the Gemara says that, we'll skip down a couple of lines, the Gemara says that Rav pulled over his son, and Rav said to him, At will stop it. Rav pulled over his son and said, do not do this. You should not do this. Why not? Because Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Limdu Lishonam Daber Sheker. The Pasuk says, referring to the time of the Korban of the first day of Mikdash, we have it in one of the Haftarahs that we read right before Tisha B'Av, Limdu Lishonam Daber Sheker, that they taught themselves, the people taught themselves to say lies. The people of the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash, they had fallen into a state of moral decay to the degree that they lying were commonplace. They taught themselves to lie. So Rav said to his son, that I don't want you doing this. I don't want you doing this because of the fact that this is a violation of the pasuk Limdu Lashonam Daber Sheker. You're teaching yourself to lie. You're teaching yourself to lie. If you're going to do this, you're going to acquire the mitzvah of sheker. I don't want you to do this. So the Mefarshim point out that this could be the basis for what the Sefer Hasidim said. In other words, because of the fact that on the one hand, we have a situation where Mutter Lashonah B'Pnei Hashem, but on the other hand, if a person is going to just lie for the sake of peace at any turn of, at any drop of the hat, so what's going to end up happening is you get used to lying. You get used to lying. So good, I'm lying for a good cause. But the fact is, I'm lying over and over again. So Rav said to his son, this is not a one-time thing, right? When Rav, this issue with Rav and his wife, apparently, I don't know, you know, what was attempted to try to solve this problem, but this was apparently an ongoing issue, and Rav felt that this is, if you're going to do this, this is going to be every day. This is going to be every single day, this problem. And that means that you are, over a period of time, going to acquire the means of shekher for yourself, and that we don't want. That we don't want. So on this basis, the Mefarshim say that this is the reason why in the Sefer Chasidim he said that you could only lie about something in the past, not about something in the present or the future. Some want to say the reason for that is because of the fact that things of the past, there's not a whole lot you could say, and it's like it happened already, there's not so much you could, the opportunity to lie is limited. Whereas, in an ongoing situation, right, where you have the two people, but it's in the present, and they're constantly at strife with each other, so if you're going to keep, you're going to go every day and try to make shalom between two people, and every day, or every couple of days, you're going to have to make up stories in order to get them to stay at peace, so you're going to be helping them, but hurting yourself. Lindu l'shon zaber sheker. You're teaching yourself to speak words of falsehood, and that is no good. And on that basis, the Sefer Chasidim says this tzad. And now, one might say that, well, the Sefer Chasidim, after all, is just one opinion, and this is a book that was written by one of the Rishonim, but, you know, maybe others disagree, especially that Sefer has a lot of the things that we would consider chumras in there, but it happens to be that the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch and our Chaim Simi Kufman above the Magen Avraham Hatzim like the Sefer Chasidim. He quotes this tzak of the Sefer Chasidim and says that this is our work. Now, that would make it already a lot more difficult if you think about it. Now, it would create a lot more of a limit, a lot more of a hold on the opportunity to go ahead and not say the truth. So the good news is that the Mishnah Brura, which is if there is one sin in the Shulchan Aruch that doesn't get learned so frequently, but it's really worthwhile to read it, is the sin of Kufnun Bav in Arachayim 156, right, where that is a sin in the Shulchan Aruch which discusses various halachas that apply to a person's daily life, you know, that aren't really codified in Shulchan Aruch. And it speaks about a lot of topics, a lot of them have to do with midos, about not getting angry and not taking revenge against people, different things. Very, very fascinating. And in that section, the Mishnah Brura quotes what the Sefer Chasidim says. However, he ends up saying the Tzarekin. He quotes the Sefer Chasidim, he quotes the Magen Avraham, that the Magen Avraham passes like the Sefer Chasidim, but he says the Tzarekin, and he says, I'm not so sure. This has to be checked out further. Now, the fact of the matter is that you may be wondering that you'll say, how could the Sefer Chasidim possibly be right? The story of Aram is in the present tense. If you go through the cases that we have mentioned in the Gemara and the Medrash, right? So if you go through it, so the one about what the brothers of Yosef said about Yaakov, that was in the past, right? This is what he said before he died. So the Sefer Chasidim would give the thumbs up on that one, right? But what about the one with Hashem tells Shmuel, go tell people. If people ask you, what are you doing in Beis Lechem? Right, when the real reason you were there is because you came to anoint David, right, and to tell them you're there for some other reason, that would seem to not fit with the Sefer Chasidim. Right? The case of where Hashem changed what Sarah said from Adonis Zofin to Nizatani, that would fit. But the one, so we have four cases, right? The one of the brothers of Yosef would fit. The one of anointing David would not fit. The one of Adonis Zofin would fit. The one of Aaron would not fit. Right? So it's a question. So therefore, a lot of the Poskim had a hard time trying to figure out how exactly did the Sefer Chasidim come to terms with all these sources. In other words, it's understandable what he's saying. He's saying that while there's an inyan of lying in order to maintain shalom, but it could have a terrible effect on a person. You become a mashaka, you get used to lying. You get used to lying, carried over to other things. Right? You get used to telling, I don't tell the truth every day, I lie to people. I go around, I'm the shalom maker in the town, which is a tremendous force, but nevertheless, I'm the one that goes around telling lies to people. So therefore, on this basis, there are many people there are many people that disagree with the psak of the Sefer Chasim. There is a number of people that disagree with it, and therefore what would come out l'maisa it's unclear because this is not codified in Shulchan Aruch. It's really, you have to do a lot of research and learn through a lot of the posting to see what the halacha really is. But it would seem that in a case of need, a person could be lenient and lie even about things in the present and the future. However, the point of the Sefer Chassidim has to be well taken. Now, the point of the Sefer Chassidim is that you have to remember that you're helping somebody, but you're destroying yourself. I mean, the emes is so precious. Right? Emes is such a precious virtue that if you get into this, if you can go around and get on a regular basis of bending the truth and not telling the truth, then you're going to perhaps cause yourself a problem. So therefore, l'maisa would come out, and this is the way it's brought in certain svarim that we have that do try to codify these halakhas, it's brought down that in a case of need, a person could rely. L'kula, a person could rely. It's based on the fact that the Mishnah Berurah is unsure of it, and other people, we have the Tshuvas Marashah from one of the poskim of the last century, who also said that in his opinion, it's pashut that you could do it. It's pashut that you could do it even in a current situation or a future situation. So therefore, in a case of need, a person could do it, but if it's not a great need, it's better to try to find a way to tell the truth, to try to find a way to make shalom amongst people without having to rely on a blatant lie. If it comes down to it, your person could do it, and if you say to yourself, I have the opportunity is right now, I have to seize the opportunity, and if I'm going to stand here and try to think, can I find a different way to say it, I'm going to miss the opportunity, then you could also do it. But to do it on a regular basis, that it seems the postings say that a person really has to be careful. If it came down to it, you could do it, but you have to try to be careful to preserve emes whenever you can. This is the inyan of Mutar L'Shamas M'Pnei Hashom. How, in case you're wondering, how the Sefer Chassidim explains the other sources that we have in the Gemara, so that already is that is a great deal of tofu about that. Yes.
He's really appealing to the best nature of people that he was talking to. And it wasn't so much that he was lying about, because they really didn't want. They themselves wanted peace between each other. So it's not so much that it was a lie.
But he was saying things that weren't true. That's what says in the Medrash. He was telling people, you know what your friend is doing now? Your friend is all in grief. He's all beside himself. He's mourning. Right? None of that is true. So it's true. You're saying that's really what they wanted. That's really that they wanted Shalom. He's just prodding them. You know, like we have the halacha that in certain cases you're allowed to force a person to do a mitzvah. And there are things Rambam that explains that the reason for that is because deep down the person wants to do the right thing.
Right.
So that you force a man to give a get to his wife. So the question is that he needs to have that. A get has to be given with consent of the husband. Says the husband, if you hit him over the head, what kind of consent is that? So they quote the wildly quoted Rambam that he says that it really is consent, because deep down under all of his personal corruption, he wants to do the right thing. In other words, the reason why he's doing what he's doing is because he has a lot of dead egos, but under it all is the neshama that really wants to do the right thing, so therefore he's telling him to do that. It's true, but I'm just saying, what Aaron said was blatantly not true. Okay, so the truth be told, about if you just bear with me for one more minute, there are many other situations which I'm not going to have time, maybe a different time, we could revisit this topic, but another situation which I regret is not on the sheet, but another situation where a person is allowed to not tell the truth would be in a situation where it's to make somebody else feel good, where it's to make somebody else feel good about themselves or to feel good about something that they purchased. And unfortunately, we have this confusion. I don't have the Gemara Ksuvos in front of me, so I'm going to try to do it from memory. You'll have to bear with me. We have the very famous Gemara in the Sefer Ksuvos on the Pezayin and the Beis that the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, Keitzad Mirachtim Lufnei HaKala." Right, the famous Gemara, right? What Pesach was singing at all the wedding. Pesach and the rabbis will say, "Kala means." What do you say? What does one say when we dance in front of the Kala? What does one say at a wedding? So we have obviously you know the song, right? So there are two opinions. There is a machlokas on this between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says, "Kala kamos shadi." That you have to say the truth, meaning that you say, meaning try to find the, obviously at a wedding, the whole mitzvah of Mishamech Lassam Akala is to make each one feel good about their choice of who they're marrying, and that's the whole idea, that you're giving them chizuk, that's why we have such a celebration, they're starting off with a bias as well, to start off with a good feeling, but Beis Shammai said the good feeling has to be within the parameters of truth. And therefore, if you know that this power has a certain virtue, so that's what you should say. Like, oh, she's brilliant, right? But to say things which are not true, just because it may make the person feel good, Beis Shammai says you cannot say that. Right? That part didn't make it into the song. Right? What made it into the song is the opinion of Beis Hillel, which is the halacha, that Beis Hillel says that he's supposed to say, Kala, no, Bakasuda. That the Kala is no, which means, literally means, it's beautiful, right? The Chasuda, and it's pious, meaning that you hit the jackpot, right? You're unbelievable, right? And you got the best Kala in the world. So the Gemara and Suda said, so the Shammai said to Beis Hillel, they said, what do you mean? Haresha, Haisa, Sumo, Higeres, what would you say? Let's say the Kala was blind. Or let's say the Kala had a very substantial limb. Right? So you can go ahead and say, about such a situation, Kala Noah, the Hatola Omram, the Darshekhar Tirfa, right? The Gemara said, you can't say it, it's not true. You say something, find something to say. Now, obviously, nobody's suggesting that you should stand there and say, you know, negative things, right? You say to the guy, you know, well, what are you crazy? What are you thinking? Right? Obviously, nobody would say that. But the point is that Beis Shammai said, you have to say the truth. And Beis Shammai said, oh, you have to be Bashek and Kirk on the party, you can't lie. So the Beis Hillel's response is, so Beis Hillel said back, that he said, on the other hand, he says that if a person, Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, if a person goes to the store and spends a lot of money and buys something, and now they bring it back and they show it to you, right? What do you think would be the right thing to do? To say to them, it's nice, you bought a nice thing, or to say to them, I wouldn't have bought that in a million years. Right? So obviously, a person the common sense dictates that you should say the right thing, that you should say the nice thing to say. So, says the case. The Hillel concludes with the famous word, a person should always try to be, a person should always try to be more than Abrius, which I believe means that you should always try to have a mindset similar to other people and to be pleasant. The word Murevis, I'm not 100% sure if it means Murevis, meaning that it mixed together with other people, or from the word Orev, like we find Picolis, Orev, and Marek, another, I think it means that you should be, pleasant, that you should be pleasant with other people. Meaning that you should always look to say nice things to people. And in the Shifa Mekubetas, it quotes from the Gaonim that they said about this also, this idea that a person should always try to find a good thing to say to somebody else. They should always try to find a good thing. That's the idea of being Marevis and Abrius. Don't be critical of other people. If someone did something, and obviously if they did something which was wrong, you don't have to go along with it. If a person did something which was an Avera, they did a sin, they did a terrible thing, you're not supposed to stand there and say congratulations. But if a person did something and it was a question of taste and they feel that it's the right thing, so the attitude of a person should always be to try to find a good thing to say. Try to say nice things. Long take guidance of who reverence and agrees. You should always try to say nice things to people. And therefore, on that basis, they still say that you're allowed to say even Kalna of Chasuda, even in a situation where it may not apply. Right, it's interesting to note that, you know, the songs that we sing at the weddings, if you ever notice, there are two versions of that niggun. Right, the older version is the one where the first part is Tetzim Marachim Makala, and the second part of the song is Kala Noa, Kala, they sing Kala Noa, Kala Yoga, Chasuda, that's the older version. In the more contemporary, very popular version, they change it, right? The first part is Tetzim Marachim Makala, And the second part is I'm not sure if that is a result of the fact that we've become slimmer over the generation, and now that we're so machmer on all the great slimmers that we have, so now we've decided to also be machmer on MS. But the fact of the matter is that the song notwithstanding, right, ironic that they made a niggin for those words and they left out the punchline. It's a beautiful song, and it's very like King for Chagogi, right? Everyone sings that niggin, but it's remarkable that the person who composed it couldn't find a way to get the main punchline into the song. Right? The Tekken Rachel Phantology is the question. Right? The answer, which is the main point, is Talon of the Chazuda, didn't make it into the song. So, but nonetheless, this is the idea that a person should always try to find something good to say about people. The Mashon, the Gemara, others explain that it's not really a total lie either. Because even if you don't think, let's say, you don't think that this Talon is such a pious person. But the Chazuda thinks so, right? That he married on that basis. So therefore, it's a subjective call. It's not absolute truth or absolute falsehood. Because you may not think it's true, but he thinks, Talon, no, you don't think so, but he thinks so. So therefore, he's not lying by saying Talon, no, because it's a white lie. Getting back to Yaakov and Esau, right? I'm all the Esau of the Baraka, right? Even if you can't tell the absolute truth, but if it's a white lie, it's still better than a total sheker. So therefore, they say that on this basis, you could say this, and so it is, not just by a wedding, but this applies in every situation. Right? If a person walks in with a brand new suit to the shul, and or a person just painted his house, and you drive down the block, you have to put on sunglasses. Right? You can't look at it. Right? You say, oh my God, what were they thinking when they painted the house that color? Right? But the fact of the matter is, if you meet the person, you have the right to say to them that I don't think you can say I love it. Because that's an outright shepherd. I don't think you can say that. There are ways to get around that. You can say it's beautiful. Because it is beautiful. It's a beautiful job. Right? The painter did a great job. He didn't choose the color. You chose the color. He did a beautiful job. He didn't have cracks. Right? You don't have to say that. But you're just saying it's beautiful. In this way, you're making the person feel good within some semblance of MS. This is what the Gemara says, long take out the trouble of your and Andreas. And so too, obviously, it applies to praising a person about things that they did. If a person does something, whatever, right, a shul has a committee, and they ask someone to do a certain job, and you say, well, the guy left you, did much better, or whatever it is, you still, right, to say such a thing would be an avra. The person tries very hard. The correct thing in that situation, based on this Gemara, would be to go over and say, you did, you're unbelievable what you did, right? Unbelievable is a great word. Could be unbelievably dead, but he doesn't have to know that, right? Or you could say, I could tell you put so much hard work into it, but to just go ahead and bluntly embrace the truth and say, you know, I gotta tell you that with all due respect, last year we had much better results than we had this year. So if you're the person in charge that has to rehire the person, then already you have the right to sometimes lay it on the line. But somebody else who you're just a bystander, so the person should always try to find a nice thing to say, and even if it's not within the absolute MS, even if it's not within the absolute MS, we are given a heter, this is the Pesach HaLochot, like Beis Hillel, that a person has the right to bend the truth, find something you can say that has some truth to it, in order to make the person feel good. Mr. Rashi.